An Education, based on the screenplay by Nick Hornby, adapted by Jane Revell. Copyright Nick Hornby 2009. Published by Scholastic Limited as part of the Scholastic English Language Teaching Readers Series. An Education. Chapter 1. A Meeting in the Rain. Twickenham, Southwest London, 1961. Jenny Mellor was 16 years old and she had a dream. One day, she would go to Oxford University and study English literature. If she worked hard enough, she would get there, and Jenny intended to work really hard. Right now, she was sitting in a classroom on Friday afternoon. Friday afternoon meant 2 hours of English literature. She loved her English classes, and Miss Stubbs was her favourite teacher. Jenny was good at English. She was good at French too. In fact, Jenny was good at almost everything, except Latin. But English was her favourite. She loved reading. Books allowed her to escape into other worlds where people travelled and fell in love and had exciting lives. Nothing exciting ever happened to Jenny. She lived with her parents in a nice house in a nice suburb of London, and she went to a nice girls' school. Everyone and everything around her was nice and polite and dull. They said on the radio that London was a fun city, full of life and colour, a centre for music and fashion and parties. But Jenny didn't see any of those things. Her life was pale and grey. She didn't feel very alive at all. She didn't have anyone she could really talk to either. Not a real friend who could share her interest in France and French culture. Jenny loved French books, French music, anything French. She loved the sound of the language, and she loved speaking it too. No one in Twickenham understood French, or no one that Jenny knew. Jenny looked around the classroom. The class was studying Jane Eyre. Miss Stubbs had asked a question, and as usual, no one had answered. Amanda Staple was studying her hands. Celia Smith was staring out of the window, and Susie Salt seemed to be asleep. Poor Miss Stubbs, thought Jenny. It must be awful to teach people who just weren't interested. She put up her hand. Yes, Jenny, said Miss Stubbs with a smile. Is it because Mr. Rochester's blind? Suggested Jenny. She knew her answer was right. Her answers were always right. Yes, thank you, Jenny. Miss Stubbs looked at the rest of the class and sighed. Now, please turn to chapter 6. Jenny sat back in her chair. Just one more year, she thought, and I'll be away from all of this. I'll be at Oxford University. I'll be a new person with a new life. Sunday lunch at Jenny's house was always the same. Her mother spent the morning peeling vegetables in the kitchen, while the smell of meat cooking in the oven filled the house. They always ate at 12:30 and finished by 1:30, so that they could listen to the news on the radio. The food was always brown and grey. It matched their dining room, Jenny thought. The conversation was always dull, too. Her father did most of the talking, and he always talked about school and her schoolwork. He kept saying how important it was. This Sunday was no different. I've got an English essay to do by tomorrow morning, Jenny said, hoping to leave the table as soon as possible.
You'll have to work hard all afternoon then, said her father. He said that every week.
What about the cello? She asked.
No cello.
I thought we agreed that the cello was my interest or hobby.
It is, he said. So when they ask you at the Oxford University interview What is your interest or hobby? You can say the cello, and you're not lying. But you don't have to practice a hobby. A hobby is a hobby.
Can I stop going to the youth orchestra then? Jenny asked. She hated playing in the youth orchestra. It wasn't a very good orchestra, and they never played anything she liked. It was full of annoying children too.
No, no, her father said quickly. The orchestra's a good thing. It shows you're a team player.
Team player? She thought. Where did he get these ideas? But I've already shown that, she argued. So now I can stop.
No, no. That just shows the opposite, don't you see? If you stop, it shows you're not a team player. It shows you're difficult. They don't want that at Oxford.
Jenny gave up. She couldn't win an argument with her father. He never really listened to her opinion. No, she agreed. They don't want people who can think for themselves at Oxford. She meant it as a joke, but as usual, he didn't understand.
Of course they don't, he said seriously.
The next day, the youth orchestra had a rehearsal for their concert. Here we go again, thought Jenny as she sat down with her cello. Graham was there with his violin and she waved to him. He smiled back. Graham was Jenny's age. He was a very nice boy and Jenny knew that he liked her a lot. Jenny liked him too, but there was something missing. He was a bit shy and a bit young and a bit too nice. Two small boys started laughing at them and blowing kisses. How stupid, thought Jenny. I can't wait to get away from here and leave all this behind me. She met Graham outside after the rehearsal. He was getting on his bicycle, and the violin on his back nearly made him fall over. Jenny tried not to laugh.
Do you think I should wear my best clothes when I come for tea? He asked.
Yes, I think so, said Jenny. Just to show my father you're not a teddy boy.
Gosh, your father sounds a bit frightening.
Graham looked worried. Jenny didn't know what to say. She wondered if it had been a good idea to invite Graham to tea. She looked up and saw the sky had suddenly got darker. I'm going, she said. It's going to rain in a minute. I'll see you at the weekend. As Jenny stood at the bus stop, it began to rain heavily. A beautiful dark red car stopped to let a family cross the road in front of her. Jenny looked over. She hadn't seen a car like it before. As he waited, the driver looked around him, and his eyes met Jenny's. To Jenny's surprise, he drove up to the bus stop and opened the car window.
Hello, he said.
Jenny looked the other way. The rain washed her hair against her face and into her eyes.
Look, he continued, I'm sure you know it isn't okay to get into a car with a strange man, but I'm a music lover and I'm worried about your cello. So why don't you put the cello in the back and you can walk beside the car?
Jenny thought for a moment. How do I know you won't drive off with it? She asked.
Ah, good point, he said. How much does a new cello cost? £10? 15? I don't know. Let's say 15.
He took out 3 £5 notes and pretended to give them to her. Jenny laughed. No, thank you, she said. The man got out of the car to help her with the cello.
I'm David, he said.
Jenny shook his hand. Jenny, she said. While David drove with the cello on the back seat, Jenny walked next to the car. David talked to her through the window.
How did the concert go? He asked.
It was a rehearsal, she said. The concert's next Thursday.
What are you playing?
Elgar, she made a face. She didn't like Elgar much.
Ah, Elgar, he said. He's very English, isn't he? I think it's a pity he spent so much time near Birmingham. They have a strange way of speaking there. You can hear it in his music if you listen carefully.
Jenny smiled. She'd never met anybody who made jokes about Elgar. Her father thought Elgar was wonderful. "Can I sit in the car with my cello?" she asked. David stopped the car.
"Jump in,"
he said. Jenny got in. The big leather seat felt really comfortable. "I've never seen a car like this before," she said. "C'est très chic."
"It's a Bristol. They didn't make many of them." "Where to, madam?"
David asked. "Unfortunately, I only live round the corner," said Jenny. She would have liked to go for a very long drive in this beautiful car with this man who made jokes about Elgar.
"In that case, we'll slow down," said David, and he drove really slowly.
Jenny laughed. She looked at him out of the corner of her eye. He was quite good looking, she thought, but a lot older than her. There was something different about him, though, something rather attractive. David smiled at her.
"I suppose cello players must go to a lot of concerts," he said.
"No, we don't go to any concerts. My father doesn't believe in them," said Jenny. David smiled and reached across her to get his cigarettes out of the glove box. He offered her one.
"Do you smoke?"
"I'd better not." Jenny would have loved a cigarette, but she pointed to a large house with a small garden in front of it. It looked just like the house next to it, and the one next to that. "This is my house." David stopped the car.
"Why doesn't your father believe in concerts?" he asked.
"He says there's no point in them. They're just for fun, except for school concerts, which aren't fun at all, so we go to those. Real concerts don't help you move forward in life."
"Which is what is so wonderful about them," said David. "Anyway, you'll go one day."
"I know I will," said Jenny, suddenly enthusiastic. "If I get to university, I'm going to read what I want and listen to what I want. And I'm going to look at paintings and watch French films and talk to people who know lots about lots."
"Good for you. Which university?" he asked.
"Oxford, if I'm lucky. Did you go anywhere?"
"I studied at what I believe they call the University of Life, and my exam results weren't very good either."
Jenny smiled. "Thank you for driving me home," she said. As she walked away from the car and up to the front door, she felt his eyes following her. Jenny was lying down in her bedroom, listening to her favourite French singer. Juliette Gréco was singing Sous le ciel de Paris, and Jenny was singing along with her loudly. Suddenly, there was a banging noise on the ceiling from the room below. "Oh no, here we go again," thought Jenny. It was her father.
"I don't want to hear French singing," he shouted. "You're not studying French singing."
Jenny sighed and turned down the music. She could hardly hear the music now, but she continued to mouth the words of the song silently. She imagined herself walking along the bank of the River Seine, smoking a French cigarette and looking very chic. Like Juliette Gréco, in fact, under the Paris sky.